God, and I'll bless you. I will put my Spirit upon you, and I shall give you a new name, and I shall give you a new power. I'll give you a new direction, and I'll let you walk in holiness forever, and I will let you live with me forever and ever and ever. My child, please come, for I loveth thee.
Thank you on this Tuesday afternoon for joining Brother Freedom and myself. I'm Brother Clint, Brother Freedom's assistant, and we're so glad to gather here in the living room. And the Lord's been giving Brother Freedom some direction by the Holy Ghost as to where to start out. The Holy Ghost is going to finish up the sermon, the message for you. So keep listening and be blessed. God bless you. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, for your wonderful love. Thank you for the wonderful Word of God. Thank you for your blessed Holy Ghost, the wonderful Holy Spirit of God Almighty. Thank you for Jesus, our glorious Savior. Father, we can't thank you enough for all just so many wonderful things that you do and keep doing for us and for those who love you. Thank you, Father, for touching Brother Freedom and anointing him today in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Today we'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 2, the first three verses. Listen carefully. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will.
Father, we just do praise you this day. Lord, we thank you that you are the God of miracles. You never changed a bit. Men just keep getting out of line, and that puts them not where they're supposed to be. It still doesn't mean that you can sin. You got to follow that straight mark all the way through. Father, we thank you for your special word, your engrafted word from heaven. Lord, we thank you that you stay the same yesterday and forever. Lord, we know that you're not slack concerning your promises, but you're long-suffering to mankind, that they might find that place that they can live with you forever and ever. In James, the 5th chapter, says, you longeth for the time of the fruit of your harvest, the freshness of your fruit of those that have salvation. And that's what it's all about. You wait for that special time. Oh, Lord, you love us, your children. And your children's going to go home and see you, and you're going to live with you forever and ever and ever. I love you very much. Like the world says they love you, but I don't think the Bible says if you love you, we will keep your commandments. Your commandments are not grievous, but they'll help us through life. They enable us to walk a better way through this world that we live in. Father, we choose you this day. Lord, we thank you for your special touch, for your deliverance, for your so ever healing us day by day, even take us through things and guard us and protect us and guide us and direct us. Lord, we thank you for many a mighty hand that stays upon the beloved. And Lord, we just thank you again that you're real. And we thank you that you're forever faithful. We thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son. And Jesus, we're so thankful that you came. And Lord, we thank you that you said if you went away, you'd send us the Comforter with the Holy Ghost. And Father, we just know that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, are more than powerful in all areas. We give you praise and glory this day. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe we're living in a time when people are trying to find fault with the Word of God. They want to put in their mind, they want to change a little bit because it's not quite right. It's not quite proper. It's not far off enough that you can't be saved. I know that. And some of these things don't make any difference anyway that we want to argue about feast days and all these customs and all these things that really don't make it. It's just something for us as God's children to argue, to get them out of the center of God's will. If you just be honest, they want to have an excuse. Any little excuse they're looking for. Oh, I'm the opposite. I'm trying to get rid of, I don't want no excuse. I want to get in there and take the full, what he's got for me. I'm a pig. I'm hungry. They didn't hunger and thirst after righteousness. God's going to fill you. He's going to supply your every need. He's going to bless you. He's going to forgive you. And that forgiving is really something else because, boy, I've got quite a record too. I mean, while the world wouldn't think so, but I think it's, I've done some things that wasn't really best. But I thank God that God gives us time to grow. You know, like when I first started running the cat, I wasn't too good at it. And I just kept with it, and pretty soon I could run. That's what we are in our life. That's exactly like we're supposed to do our life. We've never been this pathway before, but we know that God's showing us a pattern. If you'll take my advice, if you'll daily call upon me, and daily, somehow in your mind, search for me, I'm going to bless you. And that's really not too hard of a, to me, that's very easy to follow. It's not difficult. But yet we got people that come against of our church is trying to be that way. They'll stop it. It's the enemy is what it is. He comes in. And we are, and God's to allow the enemy to come in and take over. You know, he's already taken over our nation. We don't have freedom anymore about many things. We can't pray in the school. We can't do this and that if anything about God. But yet you can go out here and really do something terrible. And they got people that they have petitions. They got signs and that please don't be rough on this person that's done a lot of sinful things. According to the Word of God, and I believe it's true, in a country and anything you do, you got to remember there's consequences in doing something wrong. That's what they've had fines for. That's what they got policemen for to stop these people that do forever are sinning, basically. Sinning is just not following the true way. So most of them think at 79 miles an hour, they're going to try to go for 80 or 100. When we should be content to do what, because most of them think that's a safe way. God has a safe pattern for us. That pattern is he knows that we've been made by his mighty, we're made after his likeness. But he knows if we get a taste of sin, it just ruins our whole, our inner being, it ruins us, the whole total, it just messes us up. It messes up our spirit, messes up our flesh. If you go long enough, you get sick. A lot of times, people die before their day because they've been out here and got sin and sin so long that their body is falling apart. If we walk with the blessing of God, I truly believe, and you'll stay happy. When you stay happy and you have a fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ by the power, praise God, though you sin, you can ask forgiveness. And God's going to forgive you. He's going to help you to become an overcomer. That's not too difficult to me. But I know that's what God wants. He's going to have it. You can't deliberately tell someone that's all right to sin. You can't tell someone it's okay to sin because then everybody's going to jump in and say they want to, everybody else wants to sin too. But most sin, I don't really don't get that much enjoyment out of it. Like running around on somebody's wife. That'd be terrible. I wouldn't want, but I'm saying there's people, that's a sin problem. And someone wants to talk about people. Well, I guess I don't care about that kind of, sometimes I say too much doing, not meaning to. But it's not meant if it ever happens. I mean, I'm just, but we as God's people must remember that he put us here that we might be a reflection of him. We reflect what he is as in us. And your reflection is so darkened by that the world don't even know that you're a Christian by just your attitude, then something's wrong. But most people, most Christians I've been around, they sort of like that dark side. A little shady. One fellow come to me and said, well, you'd give your if you'd start cussing a little bit. And I said, what? I said, what are you saying? Well, he says, are you going to get more converts? I said, I don't believe so, sir. Because you get people saved by praying for them. And the one that you pray to, the Holy Spirit will draw them that they might be changed.
Really, we cannot even save anybody. But we get so big in ourselves, we think if we get out here and practice the things of the world, oh, that's going to put us in first. Like we can go down to the red light district and see how close we can come into those bars and those shitty places. Oh boy, he's just really doing a real thing. He's rubbing shoulders with sin, and pretty soon he's going to fall. But something's wrong with the thinking. Those kind of people, I believe, are disturbed. They're not centered on the will of God. Just like that V8, I talked about leaving the tension spring for the spirometer out. As soon as that machine would start working, that spirometer would come slam curve back to full extent, probably do damage. They kept running. And here they'd have a yard of many feet of track all rolled up. That's what we are. We get off track. We lose out a part of our life. That's what God says. And when we're starting that way, starting out where I want to take off from. You've heard me probably say this before, but I'm going to say it again. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. But you remember the first one was even an apostle. The second one was a prophet. Third was an evangelist. And the fourth was a pastor. And the fifth was like a Sunday school teacher. So, for the work of the ministry, the edifying the body of Christ, for the perfecting of the saints. God wanted us, when we, years ago, when we got baptized the Holy Ghost, to start from that day on, growing in the Lord. And you grow by doing full time while you're working. God, he's letting you work, and you're going to work better. You're going to be more responsible. You'll be more alert. And you won't make near as many mistakes because God will help you even on your job. And all this here, I know he's going to do it because it happened to me. You time after time after time. I believe he's the same. He never changes. You start acting and working by the Spirit. You get to where you rely on him more than you do what you see. If you get out here and see something but that's what you see. When the Spirit tells you, you know that you can go exactly like he tells you. You don't have to worry. Because when you get to what you're seeing, you're going to go around it, over it, or somebody. Or maybe by it. But he moves you in a straight path that leads you to heaven. And when you face adversities, Satan and his cohorts, his people, his little imbeciles, his doctrines of devils, all these different things that he has, they don't hurt you. They don't scare you. Because you're led by a supernatural power within you, by you praying through the Spirit and staying alive in the Spirit. See, if you don't actually, you say, well, I received it, but I don't do that stuff, you know, you're going to get bound up pretty fast. That exercise is a way of bringing you into perfection. And Ephesians talks about praying in the Holy Spirit, the sixth chapter. There's different places in the Bible. Building up yourself, most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. The Spirit of God, that's the way God made it. As we take in that supernatural we give out, it takes energy to pray in the Spirit. But I guarantee you it does something to inside of you that you cannot, there's nothing like it. It's beyond expression. It's just like God made it for it. He did make it for it. That's what he made. And yet we, as God's people, many times, let's get rid of it. We don't need it. You know, we can show God how we, you know how God must make God feel. We're getting rid of what he has for us. So, it's just like that tension spring. You don't need it no more in this sort of way. And by the way, when you get, you just pull the air cleaner off the engine because you're not going to need it, is it? And you just get real sloppy then. Oh, don't put no, leave the radiator hoses off. Pretty soon you got a junk pile. That's just the way the church is to stay in a junk pile of wrong, seducing spirits. Because they're not walking in obedience. If it, one night praying would bring it all back, a total war, it would be a rebuild. One night. Then you have time for weeks and weeks just to pray and say, God, have fun. But we don't want to do that. No, we want to make everybody happy. You wouldn't want to have that. We don't allow those things in our church. We don't want that in our, we don't want this. I mean, he's a little far out. I'll tell you, God is God. And I wouldn't want to tell, assume he's a little far out because he is magnificent. He's holy. He's without description. He is God. He is your leader. He's your savior. He is the one that's going to be able to make you live through eternity. But you act like this, you're going to miss even his coming. When you miss his coming, you're going to go to a place that's called, it's got four letters. And it's a little bad place. That's where you end up. I was thinking that about a person I know that I just really on my heart. But if they don't straighten up, sooner or later, they'll come to that place. How that their lives while they're here, they're just angry all the time. They're just beat down all the time. They're always fretting. They're always sorry. They're always, God wants to give them a straight jump, help from heaven. Romans 12:1, it's a very special saying. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. What's the saying? It's easy for us to conform to this world. And God knows it's there and it's not really, but the problem is, he wants us not to stay in it. We're not to stay conformed to it. He's got a transformation way to get us out of it into something better. Something's more relaxing. Something's more helpful. Something more like lovable. Oh, it's kind of machinable. It's lovable. It's a machinable. It's glorious. Then the renewing of your mind, that she might prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know, I was going to preach about, this is just getting to what I had for today when I started, in the will of God. Your whole life has to be, if you're a Christian, doing the will of God. You can make any kind of all this camouflage, anything else, but you can't change that. God wants you to do his will of God. See, the Bible says they're good, acceptable, and perfect. The good will of God, he's going to let you in on that, all right? But even there's good, acceptable is a little better, but perfect is perfect. See, you can go, God has a plan that you can go in. He has a plan, whether you argue against me, but there's a plan that will bring you from good into perfect. It comes by staying close to him. But you can't get it if you get out here and just try it for a few minutes and say, oh, quit, I'll go over here and that cigarette I had, it tastes so good, I'm going to light it back up. And God's going to forgive me. Oh, you know, I mean, on the way there, you said, well, you know, I need to stop down here. These guys are talking down here and they're all puffed up. So I'll just go down and join them. Pretty soon you get into a crowd that's terrible. They're saying terrible things. Your ears shouldn't hear those things. You should have earplugs in your ears. You should not take in any of this because it's going to pollute your housing. It's going to pollute your system. It's going to pollute you where, like an engine can't take dirty air in because it's going to be soon a washout. And you start taking in those filthy things in your heart. You see some lady walking across the street and you get wrong actions. Sometimes you just there as a temptation. Bible says there's no temptation taken to you which is common man. For God is faithful not to suffer you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. And with that temptation, make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Well, praise God. God has a way in the storm. Perfection and good and acceptable. You know, I've been around a lot of men. I was in the army. I see a lot of them. They want to just get by. And that is the sort of the normal. As long as you can just get by, you know, that's good enough. But I was never that way. I wanted to do my best. When I was in the military, I wanted to do my best. So I knew if I didn't do my best, I probably wouldn't be able to do nothing. So I tried hard. And through life, I've tried hard. The job I worked on, I tried to do my best I could do. And when I lived for the Lord, I wanted to do the very best that I could do that I'd be make him happy. We need to make our lives a vessel of praise, a vessel of honor. And if we get out here and have communion with the world, sit down and sit with the scornful, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. The man that doesn't do this, for his life is in the what? The law of the Lord. And in the law of the Lord, there's no room for this foolishness. And that's what it is, a bunch of foolishness. It gets you in trouble. And I've heard men talk. Some things are so vulgar, so terrible, you have to go down and pray for 3 hours to get your mind back up to normal. Just by hearing something. I mean, it's that bad. How can you do by living around it? I can see why people are, they're ready to backslide before they get to them. Satan don't have to get much to them because they're already half banana peels under and they're about to slide downhill. We need to learn to take heed of things that we've heard lest we let them slip. When we do these slanderous things, we know we're off limits at that time. You know, the military, if it's got to a red light, you was off limits. You got caught there, the MPs are going to kick at you. If they had to, they'd take you in by force and put you in the boozkin, in the brig for a while. That's what God should do to us. He chastises those who we love him. Our lives should be able to be read by God that we act actually better if he wasn't watching us than when he watches us. But he watches us all the time. We don't put nothing over the eyes of God. His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to make himself strong, whose heart is made perfect toward him. See, it isn't God's will. He sees it going on. He's not going to be there for your helper. You say, well, I go to the seventh-day church and the 54th church over here. But if it's not really in the center of the will of God, maybe you're not even having the good will of God. You're sort of minus the good will of God. And you can come into the acceptable will. Acceptable, that's pretty, you're gonna please him. You might walk pleasing the Lord with all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Fruitful in every good work. And increasing in the knowledge, increasing. It didn't say decrease, it said increasing. See, so there, that perfection keeps going greater instead of lessening. All the word of God, it keeps going, multiplying, not subtracting. See, in our Christian walk, we want to subtract. And God said, no, child, multiply, because I'll bless you. Oh, we said, no, the enemy comes and says, why don't you go backwards a little ways? It's more fun that way. Pretty soon we find ourselves on a seesaw. We find ourselves and going backwards about half the time. Our steps are ordered by the Lord. And God delighteth in his way. And though we shall fall, we shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord uphold us with his mighty hand. If God be for you, who can be against you? But when you deliberately go out here and do these mischievous things, and they're not mischievous, they're hellish, it's not really a good picture to God the Lord. He sees you as a child that's sort of like a castaway. You're just sort of trying to fool his eyes. You're just trying to. But God sees us. He knows when you put your whole heart in it. When you put your whole heart in it, like today, I just, Lord, I sure love you. About that time, I couldn't walk, and I said, Lord, I love you. Whatever it takes again. But just being able to walk in the natural. You should say, thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for giving this day. Oh, praise God. What a privilege living in your great room. This is your whole world. We're in his great spot. He's got us here for a reason. He positions you at he will. He knows where you come from. Your steps are ordered by him. The city you came from, God knew that. He knew your parents. He knew everything about you. And you might say, well, I didn't have a very good, but God's going to want to be your parent. You might not have had a good earthly parent, but God's going to better you. He says, you know, don't worry, my child. I'm going to want to take care of you. But we want to hang on to all these little cruddy things, these doctrines of devils and all these seducing spirits, all these things that our forefathers did. When God says, get out of them things, those things, look what they did to your forefathers. But you say, oh, Bob, that's okay. Okay. You look what happened to your forefathers. I want you to elevate up every generation. You go back and back. So something's wrong. It means you got to keep stepping more and more. searching for the prize, because the prize is heaven. The prize is there to deliver you, set you free, oh, to touch your body, to make you on fire, accomplish the glory of God upon you, to have that victory, that promise. Oh, praise God, that God never fails. His eye is over the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Aren't you glad for that? His ears are listening for you this day. My child, please, I'm here to touch you. I'm here to help you. Look to me. Don't follow the beast that you've been following before. You follow the beast of the flesh. That beast of the flesh will take you to direct degradation, take you to a place that you cannot find help. But I'm here to help you. I'm here to restore you. I'm here to bring victory. I'm here to give you strength. I'm here that you might be overcome. And I will forgive thee, my child. Come, come, and I'll bless you. I will put my spirit upon you, and I shall give you a new name, and I shall give you a new power. I'll give you a new direction, and I'll let you walk in holiness forever, and I will let you live with me forever and ever and ever. My child, please come, for I love thee. I love thee. I don't want to lose thee this day. I desperately call my day. My child, please, please come. Please come, for I am here to deliver thee. I'm here, my child. Please, I'm a father. You can hear me, my child. Please, I don't want to let go because I love you. I pray that you'll take heed this day. These things that you've heard from my child, if you'll take heed to these words that were spoken, you're going to have life. It's a possession that came forth that's never has been administered to my people. It's a new ministry, but I'm speaking to my people through a nobody. He can't hardly get around, but I'm using him. And I'm going to move mightily in these very last days. And I'm going to use him because he is nothing. See, if you're not down that end of your straw, I'll make you powerful. I'll make you greater than any pastor, any position you've ever seen. Because my glory will touch you, my child. Be not afraid. Because I love, be not afraid, my child. Be not fearful. But I say, only fear the enemy. Fear the consequences that are going to come one day. I say, my people, you need to fear what's going to come to pass. Because the future is me. And I say, the future of many is going to be divisive. And it's going to be very without endiness. It's going to be very full of torment. But I have a place for you, my child, that's going to bless you forever and ever. And you're going to feel so good. And you're going to live with me. And I pray to our people, come, 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 for I love thee, my ones. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, thank you for this word. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. You spoke, your people. Glory to God. Oh, praise God. Be a good time to go home right now. Oh, boy. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Must be someone else. I thank the way you moved today, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God. God bless you all. Pray that God will bless you all this day. I hope you got something out of this. Because it was God here. The Lord is here. He's here. Kamashima kamasinama kamasinama kamasinama. Oh, kamashinama kamasinama kamasinama. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Grant, why don't you close in prayer? I'm too gone.
Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. I'm overwhelmed with your presence and your call to your child. Lord, we don't want to miss, I pray. Thank you that the one who's on the internet now listening didn't tune away. Let them not ever forget this message. Let them kneel and make peace with you. And if they already know you, I pray that they will come closer. Thank you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've never heard a message like that before. Boy, God was just speaking to his people. Boy, he's just going, hold it up. Hallelujah, thank you, Father. Praise God. Wonderful, wonderful, brother Glenn. Thank you. I love you. Oh, I'm not much, brother Glenn. I love you.
I love you too.
I don't want the skeptics say no more.